When I was preparing the offering announcement to Unleavened Bread, I was talking to Mr. Henderson, and he said, "So how are you going to use Deuteronomy 16? And I said, "I'm not." And I sort of should have seen the look of horror on his face. So we're going to turn straight to Deuteronomy 16. Mr. Henderson, this one's for you. Deuteronomy 16. And I've decided today not to use markers, so if I turn to the wrong place, please bear with me. Deuteronomy 16, and in verse 9, outlines why we are here today taking up an offering. "You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God, with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your manservant and your maidservant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." So that outlines exactly why we are here this afternoon and why we are going to be giving an offering. It is to be a freewill offering. We are commanded to rejoice, and we were to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. This afternoon, I just want to look at two groups, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. One group is quite clear, they gave an offering. And the other group, it doesn't specifically mention that they gave an offering. But it's the attitude that I just want to look at, because it's very interesting. The first group from the Old Testament, I just want to read, we'll turn to it in a minute, but I just want to read through the scriptures just before we turn there. And Aaron is speaking, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." So they are remembering that they were slaves in Egypt and that they were bought out. "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." So it was clear that they were going to be keeping feast to the Lord. "And they rose up early on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings." So they gave offerings, and they sat down to eat and drink. So they were rejoicing. Is this, for once, the children of Israel getting it right? Well, you'll find out they had one slight fundamental problem with the offering that they gave. Please turn with me to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. This is after they have been freed from Egypt, since they have seen the great miracles that God did to bring them out of Egypt. Exodus 32, verse 1. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain..." So Moses is actually up the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments while this is going on. "And the people gathered to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that they should go before us.'" The fundamental problem that we see here is that they put themselves above the authority that God had placed on this earth at that time. They told Aaron what they wanted, rather than putting themselves under the authority of God. Just dropping down to verse 4. "And he," Aaron, "received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out from the land of Egypt.' So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' Then they rose early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." But they decided to whom they were going to give the offering, and they decided who they were going to worship before. And it was not the true God. Verse 7. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves.'" Just dropping down a little bit further to verse 26. We see exactly how serious this was. Verse 26. "Then Moses stood in the entrance to the camp and said, 'Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves to him. And he said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. God did not take it lightly what they had done. They had blasphemed him, and he was not going to allow his children of Israel to go off the track. Just dropping down to verse 31, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive the sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out from your book which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out from my book." This is not a game. The Israelites treated it with disregard. We cannot treat the way that we approach God with disregard, because we will be blotted out if we do not give God the reverence that he commands. Let's look at the other example, and we can see how they approached the offering that they gave on the day of Pentecost, and just look at the total difference that they have. Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The word accord is harmathumadon. It's Strong's number 3661, and it means one mind, one passion, or in harmony. So the church of 120 were gathered together. There was no discord there. They were not striving to outdo each other, to tell one group to tell the minister what they should do and another group to want to do what God says. There was one accord. They were with one mind. And in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We turn there also this morning, just over a couple of pages, to chapter 5, verse 32, where we also read this morning, and we are his witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. Deuteronomy 16 says how we are to obey God. So we know that the New Testament church who were gathered there that day were rejoicing before God. They were remembering that they were slaves in Egypt, and they gave an offering, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have been obeying God. But look at the attitude a little bit further down, just dropping down to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, sorry, this is chapter 2, verse 36, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They didn't turn round and say, "We want to tell you what you should do," as the children of Israel did to Aaron. They put themselves under the authority that God had placed on the earth at that time, and asked what they should do. And the answer was to repent and let every one of you be baptized. Mr. Armstrong always used to say that when the church pleases and obeys God, that it is blessed. And when it does not, it is not blessed. Just drop down to verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The children of Israel in the Old Testament ended up with 3,000 souls being taken out of the children of Israel. Here we see 3,000 added to the spiritual Israel. They were blessed because they put themselves under the authority of God, and they respected and obeyed God, as we should. So in conclusion, we are to give an offering, as we are commanded in Deuteronomy 16. It is a free will offering that we are to give, and we are to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. Our ancestors were slaves in Egypt, and we were slaves in spiritual Egypt in sin that we have all come out of. We are to rejoice before the Lord our God, and we are to be careful to observe these statutes. It is amazing that only weeks after the children of Israel saw and witnessed all the miracles that they started returning to the Egypt that they had just left, creating gods for themselves and putting them higher than the one eternal God. They were exercising the let people decide mentality that we had seen so much lately. In the New Testament, they were unified. They did as they were commanded, and they gave an offering as they were commanded. As I've mentioned, it's very interesting that there were 3,000 killed to the children of Israel, and there were 3,000 added to spiritual Israel on the Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was given to his church. So we are now giving an offering as we are commanded. Let us rejoice before the Lord our God. Remember that he has taken us and freed us from Egypt, spiritual Egypt as well as physical. We need to be humble when we do it. We need to make sure that we come before him under his authority and the government that is in place on this earth at this moment. And we must also be careful to observe all of these statutes.